What's cracking? My name is Jim Rome. Welcome to the jungle. A tremendous Wednesday to you. The program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage. Buy Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way and provide a seamless mortgage experience. Check it out on CBS Sports Network. What a beautiful day in SoCal. You see that coastline? The beach. It's popping. A tremendous summer day. Nice to have you here. All right, so let me set it up for you like I do every single day at this time. I'll start by telling you who our guests are. No. I'll start by telling you your telephone number. Use it. 1-800-636-8686. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. In terms of the show, it does set up like this. Steve Elkington, jungle legend, 1995 PGA Championship winner, jungle legend, joining us at 9:40 Pacific. He's going to break down the Open Championship, and you know the mate. He's looking to bend the needle. You never know what he's going to say. Elk is coming up in about 35 minutes. Top of hour number two, an NFL Network analyst, Daniel Jeremiah. Middle of hour number three, Tony Loughman, an analyst for DAZN. So those are the three we're looking at. And I've got a lot of content, really good content. Once again, 1-800-636-8686. Let me start with some baseball. I've got a lot of other ways I want to go, but I do want to start here. Like, when you think of the great rivalries in Major League Baseball, what do you think of? Red Sox, Yankees, Giants, Dodgers, Cards, Cubs. I mean, those are the ones that come to mind immediately. But if that's your list, you are overlooking one of the better feuds in Major League Baseball. And last night, we got another edition of it. I'm talking about CC Sabathia and the Tampa Bay Rays. That's right. CC v. Tampa. I mean, one of the stranger low-key feuds in all of sports, not just baseball. And if you have not been paying attention, now is the time to get caught up. Let me give you a little background. CeCe has dominated the Rays the last 2 years with an ERA of less than 2.4 in the last seven starts. And he was tossed from a game against the Rays late last year for dotting a Rays batter. How seriously did he take that plunking? Remember, it led to a suspension, which cost him $500,000 in bonus money for innings pitched last season. Think about that for a minute. I mean, sure, the Yankees did pay him the bonus nonetheless, but it was more important to CeCe. Like, he didn't know that at the time. It was more important to CeCe to defend a teammate and hit a member of the Rays than it was to stack that cash. And don't come in here and tell me that he can't spend what he already has, that his kids' kids won't get to what he already has. That's $500,000 that he knew he was going to lose because it was more important to him to defend a teammate. And that tells you all you need to know about that guy. And it tells you all you need to know about what kind of a teammate CeCe is. Oh, and it tells you all you need to know about how much he hates the Rays. It tells you that as well. Remember earlier this year, he threw at Tampa's Austin Meadows three times and allegedly shouted insults at the Rays. So now you know, this is one of the more underrated feuds in all sports, not just baseball. It brings us to last night in the Bronx, Sabathia v. Avisail Garcia, two outs in the sixth. And let me tell you, the end of the inning is not the end of the action. Let's get it on.
Beautiful pitch, and he got him. Went to the breaking ball. Maybe got a little benefit, a little outside. You're right. Take a look. But he's a veteran, B.A. Oh, hold on. Things heating up. Garcia had some words. Sabathia has to be held back, and the bench is clear.
Garcia not real happy. I think Sabathia said something, yelled at him right there, a couple of things. Yeah, Sabathia started it.
They're still going. That's what it was.
Well, you know what? Sabathia's been chirping at these guys for a while. It's about time that someone says enough.
It didn't look like Garcia was in that mode at all.
He was going down to take off his ankle guard, and Sabathia had some words for him.
Doesn't drowning pool make everything better? Even if they're just jawing at each other? All right, so that was the Rays call. And let's not get carried away with this notion that Garcia was standing up to CeCe. That was a classic baseball benches clearing incident where nobody wants to do anything at all because nobody's exactly sure about what is even happening in the first place. Nobody knows why benches are clearing in the first place. They just know that part of the code is getting up off your ass and pretending like you do want to knock somebody the hell out. Because the code also says if you don't do that, you'll get knocked out by one of your own. But again, exactly what was the offense there? What happened? Which appendix of the baseball code that's written in invisible ink was violated? Was Garcia pissed that CeCe stared at him? Was CeCe pissed that Garcia stared him down? I mean, what happened here? What was so wrong? Afterwards, Garcia said, quote, nothing happened. Afterwards, Sabathia said, quote, it was a misunderstanding. So a weird feud somehow just got even more weird because there's a lot of big bodies running in from the outfield and off the benches and clearing the dugouts, but nothing happened. Yeah, nothing happened. Nothing that I could see other than a couple of guys just looking at each other. I guess we can add that to the long list of reasons to go. He threatened me. He threatened somebody close to me. He spit in my face. He insulted my race or my religion. He looked at me. Because essentially, CeCe was looking at Garcia like, the hell are you looking at, scrub? He even appears to be saying to Garcia, if I was talking to you, I'd be talking to you. Which is true. And if he was trying to hit you, he would tell you that too. Because after he went after Meadows back in May, he left the mound yelling, quote, I definitely was trying to hit his ass, end quote. So afterwards, Sabathia still said he was not talking to Garcia.
I wasn't talking to him. And, you know, he looked up at me and said something, and it was on.
Were you talking to the umpire?
No, I wasn't saying – no, I was just yelling out, like kind of pumping myself up, sorry. And, you know, he might have took offense to it, but, you know, it is what it is. I'm never going to back down.
Now, we know that about CeCe. He's never going to back down. The only way he wasn't getting into the middle of that weird fight – as part of this weird feud, was if somebody stopped him and somebody got in between him and Garcia. And because I still don't know what happened or didn't happen that led to that benches clearing brawl, let's just go all CSI on a different call of the incident. And please be warned, there appears to be some personal appearance smack coming up in this.
Ruckus going on. Let's see what happens, Paul.
To say, you know, CeCe doesn't want anybody staring at him, Garcia doesn't want anything, but it just, you know, these are two teams that are going to go at it, and they've gone at it before, so it doesn't take much to get them going.
Look at Dita trying to hold CeCe back. He's going to need some help.
Yeah, you might be right about that.
It's like he's saying, you're talking a lot of close games between these two teams.
Yeah.
On edge.
I'm going to talk to you. I'll talk to you.
Yeah.
You hear that quote? Look at Didi trying to hold CeCe back. He's going to need some help. End of quote. Actually, he didn't. Shout out to Didi, who's listed at 205, holding back CeCe, who's probably about 50% more than that. Except Didi used classic technique. He got low. He got leverage. He drove with the legs. He kept CeCe from getting into it as the benches cleared. Gregorius even took a shot to the neck from CeCe as Sabathia was gesturing, but he stayed strong, even through it. Quote, it felt like holding a bear. And then when the dust settled, both teams were warned, and then the Yankees went to work. Homer in the bottom of the inning to make it 3-2 Rays, followed by a two-run shot in the eighth from Aaron Judge. And then here comes the bear keeper himself, Didi Gregorius, with the bases juiced.
Two out. Bases loaded. 1-2.
Drill! Deep right field! No doubt about it! Grand slam for Didi Gregorius into the bleachers in right field! And the Yankees have busted this game open here in the bottom of the eighth. It's now 8-3.
Have yourself a day, Didi. Hold back Sabathia. Snap your slump of the grand slam. Yankees win a beatdown 8-3. So CeCe Sabathia is going to retire at the end of the season, which is a drag. It's sad for so many different reasons. He's a legend. There's nobody else like him in Major League Baseball. A guy with more than 250 wins, more than 3,000 strikeouts, and one awesome, awesome, weird feud. Not only do I want him to keep, or do I not want him to retire, I want him to keep playing long enough so that he can have a feud with the Rays in Tampa and Montreal. one weird feud with the same team in two different cities and two different countries. That's what baseball needs. It's exactly what we need. Had to start right there. Weird feud. Underrated feud, but a weird feud. CeCe, of course, gets the last laugh once again. 1-800-636-8686. Hit me up. All right, some other topics today. It's been a couple of weeks. In fact, 2.5 weeks since Kevin Durant announced that he was joining the Brooklyn Nets. And according to the Nets, they were more surprised than anybody. I've got that story coming up. You have the Open Championship. Steve Elkington is going to join me in about 25 minutes or so. So next segment, I want to get into my thoughts about Tiger Woods and what kind of a shot he's got. Brooks Koepka, how it looks for him. Rory being back home, whether or not it's his week. My thoughts on the Open and then Elk's thoughts coming up to complete hour number one. Looking ahead to the second hour, Daniel Jeremiah will join me at the top of the hour. Talk some NFL with him. Something else I want to get into today. I want to talk Dion Waiters. A lot of you smart Alecs had a lot of fun at his expense. I understand this is a really polarizing player. I understand that when the season started last year, he was out of shape. And that a lot of you were all over him. Now he's in shape. And I want to say that he clapped back, but he really didn't. In fact, I love his response to everybody who is killing him for being fat. That's coming up. This email is directed to Van Sizzle. Dear Van Sizzle, CeCe wasn't pissed at the Rays. He was just angry that I wasn't in his mitt. Signed, a sandwich. Andy from Denver. You know, I was saying how hyped I was that Denver was back in the fold, that we were back on the air in Denver. Until I got that email. But then again, this guy's email address is OJ is the devil and the Raiders suck at yahoo.com. As always, bro, I know that's like your dummy account for the show, right? There's no way you do business with that account. Yeah, I'd love to get a proposal from you. Okay, great. What's your email address? You got a pen? Write this down. OJ is the devil and the Raiders suck. Good night now at yahoo.com. Wait, what? Hey, Rome, I tried that app. I tried that app that turns your face old and my phone turned into a mirror. Signed, Jamie Lee Curtis. I may have a thought or two on that app. Maybe. Possibly. Wah! Wah! That was Adam Hawk showing up. And finally, Rome. Have you and the staff tried the hashtag age challenge yet? If you haven't, we want to make sure you are well prepped for It's Ritz photo. Careful, Jimmy. If you turn the camera on that guy for that challenge, you might just see a puff of dust and be running for a new staff member. Thanks. Clones. Aaron in Omaha. War Hawk hitting himself with the age challenge, only to see himself gain another 40 in the face. War Alvin trying the age challenge and immediately being surrounded by 14 grandkids in the backdrop of the photo. And finally, Ward James Kelly getting in on the fun and seeing his forehead turn into a dilapidated, rusted out aircraft carrier. As always, I'm sure you clones just are so handsome. 5% body fat or less. Exceptional shape. You eat clean. You're at fighting weight. Your walk around weight is the best weight ever. Hey, if it makes you feel better about you and you'd rather kill us than do the work yourself, keep being losers. It's not getting you anywhere. Just know that. All right, when we come back, I want to talk Open Championship. I've got thoughts on Tiger Woods. He's acting like he doesn't have a chance this week. And you know what? He's right. That's coming up. Elk is coming up after that. Summer is here and so is the unbearably hot weather. Think about how much time we spend in the sun over the summer. We also spend a lot of time in our cars during the same summer months. Now, you know the heat can just suck the life right out of you. Imagine then what it's doing to your car. Summer heat can be draining on your vehicle's battery, even more so than the harsh winter months. Heat more than cold can shorten your battery's life. Rising temps can cause battery fluids to evaporate, leading to corrosion on cable clamps and terminals. You always want your car at its peak. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts right now and have your battery tested free of charge. It's free. If it does need replacing, the professional parts people there will help you find the exact superstar battery that fits your car or your truck, and you'll get it at a guaranteed low price. In order to find a store near you, just go to O'ReillyAuto.com. O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Jungle legend Steve Elkington joins me next segment. So let me get my thoughts out there ahead of that. It seemed like it was only about a week ago that I was playing some awkward and cringy audio of Tiger Woods screaming a 1 a.m. wake-up call to a giant corporation in an attempt to get his body clock shifted for the Open at Royal Portrush. It seems like it was only a week ago because it was only a week ago.
Hey, Nike, it's Tiger. Wake up! It is now 1 a.m. here on the East Coast. Why am I doing this right now? Because it is now 6 a.m. at Royal Portrush. I'll be playing the Open Championship there. In order to be prepared for the time chase, I'm getting up. If you want to succeed, if you want to get better, if you want to win, you want to accomplish your goals, well, it starts with getting up early in the morning. Have a great day.
Thanks, Jocko. No, Jocko Willink right there. It starts with getting up early in the morning. Like, if Jocko says it, that's one thing. Tiger's like, hey, Nike, it's Tiger. Yeah, no bleep. Really? That was 7 days ago. 7 days ago, the cat was giving all of his addicts plenty of pure, uncut, honk, crack to overdose on. All the while looking and sounding like he was on the White Rock himself or something. I mean, look at our guy waking up at 1 a.m. to get his body right for the Open. Man, give the guy the claret jug right now. Tiger by a million. Get in the hole.
I'll be playing the Open Championship there.
I will be playing Open Championship there. All right, so that's a week ago, and all the Tiger honks were peaking. And Tiger had it all worked out. I guess a lot can change in a week. I guess because the whacked out 1 a.m. Tiger from last week is now a solemn, almost resigned Tiger this week. You heard him then. Now check out this dude at his presser from Northern Ireland on Monday when he was describing the intense emotional toll that winning the Masters took on him.
Well, getting myself into position to win the Masters was it took a lot out of me. That golf course puts so much stress on the system. And then if you look at that leaderboard, you know, after Francesco made the mistake at 12, it seemed like 7-8 guys had a chance to win the golf tournament with only, what, 6 holes to play. And so it became very crowded. A lot of different scenarios happened. I was reading the leaderboard all the time, trying to figure out what the number is going to be, who's on what hole. And, it took quite a bit out of me.
Uh-oh. Mixed messages much? Never mind. Have you ever heard that guy sound like that? Wow, there were like so many guys in the mix. There were a lot of guys on that leaderboard. Looking back and reading the leaderboard really took a lot out of me.
So much stress.
So much stress. Forget for a minute that this is Tiger freaking Woods who won the Masters. Let's just go back to the same guy 7 days ago who was bouncing off the walls, ready to rip number 16. And now he's telling the world that keeping an eye on the leaderboard during the Masters really took a lot out of him. He literally said that. Keeping score took a lot out of him. What the hell does that even mean? Is dude still fried from April despite playing next to no golf at all since then? Is he sitting on E? Is the tank empty? Or even worse, is running down Jack actually the furthest thing from his mind now? Is he actually good? after shocking the world and ripping the green jacket. In other words, is he done paying the price? Is he happy just to walk off on that stunning win at the Masters? I mean, if so, great. It sure as hell looks like it. It feels like it, because dude's not paying the price. He's not preparing. Hell, he's not even playing. You always hear that, hey, no matter what's going on, he's still Tiger Woods. You can never count him out. Yes, you can, and I am. And apparently so is he. And never mind me counting him out. He's counting him out for all the reasons I just mentioned. He has not played enough. He's not prepared. He's not confident. And just wait until that bad weather kicks in and he's walking that track like he's got a piano strapped to his back. So hell yes, I'm counting this guy out. Just making it to the weekend will be a big win for the big cat this week. And if watching the leaderboard took that much out of him on a course he absolutely loves, how is it going to be walking a course that he knows nothing about and actually has to pick up the bats and swing them? This is just dude running his cat playbook to perfection. If somehow Elgato plays well this week, then he did it in spite of being mentally exhausted from watching the leaderboard way back in April. Then he's a legend. But if it goes the other way, and it will, and he sprays it all over the yard, and he misses the cut, then he's got everybody pointing back to his presser on Monday where he said that he wasn't properly prepared and that everybody was properly warned that he was not going to compete in the tournament. Legend if he plays well, but expected and justified if he doesn't. Typical tired cat spin. No, honks. Your idol is not going to be a factor this week. I'm looking at you, Hawk. I'm looking at all you honks. He essentially said as much. Not only has he not picked up a bat since Pebble, he's never actually stepped foot on this track until right now. And the two guys who are favored to win have a huge local advantage. Rory McIlroy grew up in Northern Ireland. He set the course record at Portrush way back in 05 when he was 16. Then you've got Brooks Koepka, his bagman. Ricky Elliott is a Portrush native. He knows that setup better than anybody out there. And he's going to be giving numbers and carry yardage to the best player on the planet all week long. And if you think Tiger doesn't know that, then you don't know the cat. Because the cat tried to cozy up to Brooks after the U.S. Open this year and work his way into a practice round this week with Koepka and his looper.
Tell you a funny story. I texted Brooksy, you know, congratulations on another great finish. I said, hey, dude, you know, you mind if I, you know, tag along and play a practice round? I've heard nothing.
Man, it must be so nice. It must be so nice to run out material like that and have everybody laugh. When it's not funny at all. If you or I tried that, you'd get crickets. You'd get Lee Evans'd. Ghosted! Brooks Koepka. Straight ghosting the cat on iMessage. Hey, dude, can I play with you and your caddy and steal some local knowledge before the Open? Either that is the most savage move of all time from a guy who's not going to give an inch, or Tiger has some old digits, because the best story of the year might be too good to be true. Remember, Koepka told reporters after the U.S. Open that he was getting too many texts from randos, so he changed his number. Maybe he never gave the new one to the cat. And maybe somebody with Brooks's old digits got a text from a number that they didn't recognize asking them to play a practice round at Portrush.
Hey, it's Tiger.
Or maybe Koepka did ghost Eldrick. I can't say how badly I want that to be true. Waxing the alleged greatest golfer of all time at the PGA this year while being in the same group is one thing, but ignoring his texts for a practice round is another. And until Brooks comes out and says that Tiger was texting an old number, I'm just going to choose to believe that he ghosted the cat. Speaking of Brooks, this is a guy who has somehow managed not to have a major emotional toll taken out of him despite having to watch the leaderboard himself, despite winning one major already this year and finishing second in each of the others too. And he had himself a bit of an Allen Iverson moment when he was asked this week how he prepares for tournaments.
Just practice before the majors. Regular tournaments, I don't practice. If you see me on TV, that's when I play golf.
In other words, practice. Practice. We're talking about practice.
We're talking about practice, not a game. Not the game that I go out
not,
there.
Not a major,
and
not the thing
for,
I kill myself
and
for.
Play every game like it's my last.
Not the Masters.
Not the we're talking about
not
practice,
the Open.
Man.
We're talking
I mean,
about a major.
How silly is that, man? We're talking about practice.
Talking about one of the 18
I know I'm supposed
Buick
to be there.
Classics.
I know I'm supposed to lead by example. I know that, and I'm not shoving it aside.
Driving range,
you know,
please.
Like it don't mean anything.
I'm not saying
that important.
John Deere doesn't mean anything.
I honestly do. But
I mean, I do.
About
I honestly
practice,
do.
Man.
We talk about
we
practice.
About? Practice?
Putting drills before the Sony? Putting drills? You tell me again that Brooks has no personality. Tell me again how boring Brooks is. Tell me that the guy who told players to stop crying about the U.S. Open setups is a big bore and a dud and a snoozer. Tell me that that guy who might and hopefully ghosted the cat and copped to not practicing before regular tournaments is so boring and dry and uninteresting. Or you know what? Don't. Don't ever tell me that again. Because right now, I would rather listen to Brooks read the phone book than have Hefty sell me a six-day blended coffee fast. Or have the cat tell me that watching the scoreboard in April took a giant toll on him. You got your guy, I got mine. You got your guy, I got mine. And then we all have this guy, Elk. He's coming up next. Those are my thoughts. We'll see what Elk makes on all of this. He is next. First, though, here is a sports update for you.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
I just gave you my thoughts on the Open Championship. Now we go to a legend, a 10-time winner on tour, winner of the 1995 PGA Championship, two-time winner of the Players Championship, creator of Secret Golf, the brain behind the SG Tour Golf app, and a jungle legend, Steve Elkington. Mate, what's going on? How are you?
G'day, Jimmy. How are you, mate?
Great, great. Elk, how about you? G'day. How are you feeling?
Yeah, my head down here in Houston. It's about 112. The mosquitoes are up. I'm ready to roll.
Nice. All right, so the Open starts tomorrow at Royal Portrush. Before we get into some of the players, Elk, what is your sense of that course and how to play it?
You know, I'm hearing, everything that I'm hearing coming back from them. I've been to Ireland. I've never played Portrush, but they're saying it's probably one of the top three courses they've ever seen. All the guys are just saying it's magnificent. It's one of these unusual pieces of property that sort of, if it was in California, mate, it'd be covered with, you know, Four Seasons and million-dollar homes. But in Ireland, they've left these special, you know, peninsulas that hang out on the ocean. And, of course, it's been there for hundreds of years where they've done this magical course. And it's very undulating. You know, this course is going to be a little different than some of the others that they've seen because this has so much undulation, so many drop-offs that you can really get a sideways bounce. And everyone's saying that, you know, you've got to keep this ball in the fairway. It's really nasty off the fairway.
All right, so generally, what kind of a mentality do you have to win the Open?
You know, I finished second, and I've lost in a playoff in 2002. I wasn't a very good links player when I first went over there. The turf's different. It's very firm, and you've got to hit the ball a little differently. You've got to flight it so you don't get a lot of spin on it because you don't, when you get playing in the wind and you're playing crosswind, you know, these balls go everywhere. So it's just patience, mate. It's you know, Brooks Koepka says it so perfectly. You know, he makes all these double bogeys and triple bogeys when he plays on the regular tour, but over in the U.S., over in the majors, he never seems to make a big number, and he's very patient. He stays away from these bunkers that are essentially, they look terrible on TV. They're like jacuzzis all over the golf course, but he stays out of them, and then when he does get in one, he just comes out sideways. So you don't try to compound your error. So it's very much a sort of a attitude, Jim. It's a real test, man. And I know that you are a big horse guy. This is a different track. This is a different track that takes a certain amount of discipline to be good at.
Steve Elkington is joining us to talk Open Championship and other things. I'm going to get back to Brooks Koepka in a minute, Elk, but what about Rory McIlroy? He is the local favorite, and he grew up playing in Hollywood, which is about an hour away. Do you think that playing so close to home is going to be a good thing or a bad thing for him?
He's going to have the most pressure of anyone that's probably ever teed it up in an Open Championship. And of course, he holds the course record there. He shot 61 when he was 16 years old. So, of course, he's been an amazing golfer for, you know, ages. But, you know, everybody knows that he's lost the razor's edge that Brooks Koepka has right now and Dustin Johnson had. And, of course, Tiger has absolutely delivered with for 20 years. He's lost that razor's edge, and I don't know what it is, and I'm not even sure he does, but could it be that the magic could happen in Ireland? Mate, it could. He's certainly one of the most gifted players from tee to green, but I think it's open field this week. Everybody's in the game this week.
Steve Elkington joining us. Elk, take one more run at that. Like, what do you think that is? I mean, he's not obviously seen to be like the same guy he was mentally when he was running off majors a few years back. I mean, do you get the sense that maybe he's comfortable where he is? Maybe the fire has gone out? If you had to put your finger on it, what do you think it is?
Well, he was quoted this week as saying that he was watching the video of him shooting 61 that was on the TV, and he said, man, I wish I had some more of that. And I was waiting for him to hear, well, what was more of that? And he said, I was really cocky and really brash, and I knew I was going to do it. And, you know, he's a little bit more shoulder shrug, what happened type of attitude. Mate, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what that edge is, and I don't think anyone does, to be honest. I mean, we knew that when Tiger came to an event, it was on, mate. It was on, and same right now with Brooks. And now Tiger finds himself in a very unusual position of sort of defending his attitude a little bit, which has been really unusual for me to see.
Steve Elkington joining us. No, I think that's fair, too. You know, I mean, you could talk about any number of athletes in any number of sports when they get to the mountaintop or they win that major, they win that championship. Sometimes the hunger goes out. Oh, and speaking of hunger, why don't we talk Hefty for a minute? What do you make of Phil Mickelson posting on Instagram that video talking about going on a 6-day fast and losing 15 pounds?
Hefty, mate. He's selling this again, mate. Not only that, have you ever heard anyone that's going on a fast that broke down the ingredients that's in the fast? I mean, who wants to know that? I mean, he's gone full earth mode, mate. Full earth mode. He said this course is spiritual, the tournament's spiritual. Well, you know what, Hefty? Maybe you want to dribble a little Frankenskank essential oil on your tee ball. That's going to be better than going on a diet for 6 days, mate.
Oh, man. Look, it's no it's no secret, Elk, that Phil has been known to put away some grub. He might even be able to put away a custard castle, but is his weight really the problem with his game right now?
Nah, mate, it's his swing. He's not hitting the ball straight. You know, he doesn't have that ideal mechanical. You know, I talked to the TaylorMade guys when Sam and I were out at the U.S. Open. They were saying, why is Phil Mickelson not a good driver like Rory McIlroy? And, you know, the data shows that the shaft doesn't have as much lean on it and impact. His is underneath the other way, and that's just a sort of a mathematical way of saying he's not very good, you know. But, mate, how come I'm the poor guy that can't get a couple of images out of my head? Like, how come I was in the wrong place at the wrong time when I saw Colin Montgomery when he great whited four Big Macs, and then I was at another place where I saw friggin' Mickelson just vacuum six chocolate eclairs? How come I'm the one that was in the wrong place at the right time? I cut these images, seared into my head, and now Hefty's come out when he's dropping this new move on me where he's got all these, he's eating coffee. I mean, come on. Come on, Hefty, that's not the way you get ready for the Open. You drink 10 Guinness. That's everyone knows when you go to the British, you do 10 Guinness.
Or you vacuum six chocolate eclairs. So, Elk, bottom line, I mean, was the Instagram video really an update on his preparation for the Open, or is he playing us all once again? Is he laying the groundwork for another product pitch, like when he was trying to sell everybody on the notion of golfing in dress shirts? Are you going to be having some of his, quote, special coffee blend for wellness?
Mate, he's even dropped the Yeti cup. I mean, this is coming, right? I've got to buy some dress shirts. I've got to do the tight undershirt. I've got to buy two drivers to play the course. Mate, I'm just exhausted. I'm just exhausted from seeing this. I can't watch it. It's too much. It's too heavy. Go back to the vacuum move, Hefty. You won 42 times with the vacuum hooked up.
You won 42 times with the vacuum hooked up. All right, Elk, the last time you were on, we talked about the new app that had just launched 1 month later. How is the app going?
It's going really well. You know, we had our, you know, big launch at the U.S. Open, and this is our second week, which is the Open Championship. We're doing really well. It's getting the word out. And, mate, Hawk opened the game the other day. Hawk beat me in the game that we played at the U.S. Open, which was a little bit perplexing coming from Hawk, who's obviously doesn't know the in-depth of the tour like I do. However, mate, we've decided that we're going to open a big game this week, and he's already invited about 30 clones in, and I think we're going to sweeten this pot just a little bit. I think we've decided, he and I and you, hopefully, that we're going to let the clones email into Hawk's DM their email, and we'll put them in that $10 game. And I'm going to sweeten it, Jim. I'm going to do a tune for anyone that can beat us or who wins the game, and a bottle of Fuzzy's vodka signed by the man himself, Masters Champion.
Wow. All right, so just so we're really clear on this, Elk, how do the clones get the app? How do they get involved? And again, run that by me one more time. Run that back. What is the prize?
So we're going to you go to the iTunes store, you go to the App Store, and you'll download SG Tour gaming app, register. You have to have a PayPal to play. Then you will, if you want to be in me and Hawk's game, you'll email Hawk to his DM on Twitter, and we'll add you to that game. We got room for another 100 guys. So we've got about 40 in there right now, and we want to do a big game. So it'll be $10, you know, it'll be $1,000 in this game. And I think Hawk can confirm this with you right there. I think he did first, second, and third. So it might be, mate, it might be a $500 or $600 pot.
I like
for the winner.
I like that a lot. What you should do, clones, if you want to do this, and I'm shocked that it's not already filled up, go to Hawk's Twitter feed right now. All the information's right there, and I love it. Elk, before you go, let me ask you about Brooks Koepka, who you mentioned. You know, it's crazy we got to the end of this thing before we talked about him in a major, and we know the way he uses his fuel. He'll probably find something out this week about something and use it as fuel. How do you like his game coming into this week?
I like him the most of anyone. He's finally, someone out there has finally had the cards to just say, you know what, this is what I'm doing, okay? I'm doing this. I don't care about you. He whiffed Tiger the other day. I didn't play with him. I watched him practice. He's just putting one putt. Mate, his caddy is from Port Rush. And here's the deal this week, okay? This course has a lot of dog legs. And, of course, a lot of these players can play it the safe way where they don't have to cut across the corner. However, when it gets windy, those across the corner shots become a new line because the wind changed. Well, guess what? He's got the local boy on the bag. So, you know what? Koepka's a freak. I love this guy. And if he pulls off his fifth major, what is his Sheila going to wear to the ESPYs if she had the crochet top on the other day, babe? Holy moly, did you see that, Jimmy?
Yeah, I saw that, Elk. I'm going to leave it at that, Elk. He is the creator of Secret Golf. He is the brain behind the SG Tour Golf app. He is a jungle legend. He is a 10-time winner, and he is Elk. Mate, you did it again. Great job. Nice to have you back, and I know we'll talk soon.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Mate, living dangerously. My man Elk's always right there on the line, isn't he? 1-800-636-8686. Hefty hooked up to a vacuum. He's like, you won 42 times with the vacuum. Why are you changing? He's like, it's exhausting, mate. Look at what he's doing. He's already setting the whole thing up. The coffee blend, the tight undershirt. He already tried to sell us dress shirts for the golf course. You know, some of you got all bent out of shape when I took a run at him again earlier this week. This is why. That's why I said what I said about Hefty, all right? Don't take my word for it. Listen to a guy who would know if you think that I wouldn't. Listen to Elk. He said it's exhausting. It's got nothing to do with him preparing for that tourney. Him being overweight is not the reason he's playing as badly as he is right now. He's always been overweight, and he's a Hall of Famer. Stay tuned. Hour